How much good? Yeah, I'm gonna mention that.
Keep this one rolling.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting of the Summit Hill School Board to order. If you could all please rise with me and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This evening, Mr. Martin is with us over the phone, so we have asked Mrs. McClish to please step in as Secretary Pro Tem. So if you could please give us a roll call.
Sure. Amy Burke.
Present.
Katie Campbell.
Present.
Trudy Serino.
Oh, Trudy, I'm sorry. Trudy is not here with notice.
Okay, so absent with notice. George Leonard.
Here.
Jim Martin. Stephanie McClish, I'm present, and Stacey Borgens.
Here, thank you. Okay, Freedom of Information request. We had none at this time. Do we have any public comments? Mr. Ted, come on down.
Good evening. And now, what to do, what to do, what to do. I do not enjoy this role. I do not enjoy speaking out at public meetings. However, the Board of Education, at least the four senior members, owe the 161 community an explanation. A retirement, a termination, a resignation, an investigation by the Illinois State Police, a forensic audit, $2,546,923.05 paid to one company, all connected or not. This could all be explained if the Board of Education members are willing to look to themselves and issue a statement to the 161 community. I could write a statement for you in rough draft. We, the then current board members, were not paying attention. We relied on the current superintendent to do the right thing and to advise us accordingly. The then current superintendent was the one person with oversight over all district employees and was the one person responsible for all District 161 projects. We, as the Board of Education, had oversight over one district employee, the current superintendent. We, as the then current Board of Education, acted under the advice of the then current superintendent. There was a lack of oversight by both the superintendent and the Board of Education. Yes, $2,546,923.05 was paid to one company. This was paid over a period of 4 years for multiple projects. The public is invited to view all 4 years of invoices from this company on the district website. The Illinois State Police was asked to investigate because, you, the Board of Education, will have to fill in the blank here. The results of the Illinois State Police investigation are as follows. You, the Board of Education, will have to fill in the blanks here. Yes, the then current Board of Education authorized a forensic audit. The forensic audit in its entirety is available for the public to view on the district website. As a result of the Illinois State Police investigation and as a result of the forensic audit, we have found, you, the Board of Education, will have to fill in the blank here. As a result of these findings, we plan to, you, the Board of Education, will have to fill in the blank here. 15 sentences for a statement. Not included in this statement is an explanation of why one person was wished well in retirement, while another person was terminated and a third person tendered their resignation. Perhaps this should also be explained. Not included in the statement is an explanation of a personal connection, if any, between the company in question and any board member. Perhaps this should have been mentioned when the votes to pay the bills were taken. The mention of criminal activity or no criminal activity should be included in the Illinois State Police investigation report and addressed accordingly by the Board of Education. I do not enjoy speaking out at public meetings. However, the Rubicon has been crossed. So now, what will you do? What will you do? What will you do? Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. The letters and communications are in the back of our board book. K the consent agenda. Can I have a motion that we approve the items on the consent agenda for this meeting as presented? 4A, 1A, regular session meeting minutes of June 8th, 2022. 4A, 1B, closed session meeting minutes of June 8th, 2022. 4A, 1C, policy committee meeting minutes of June 8th, 2022. 4A, 1D, special meeting minutes of June 15th, 2022. 4A, 1E, special meeting minutes of June 21st, 2022. 4A2, approval of May Treasurer's Report, financial report. 4A3, approval of bills list of July the 6th, 2022. 4A4, approval of resignation of staff, including Ashley Bardsack, effective June 15th, 2022. Heather Stupe, effective June 30th, 2022. Stephanie Gary, effective June 30th, 2022. Molly Marshall, effective June 30th, 2022. Sharon James, effective June 30th, 2022. 4A5, approval of family medical leave. We have none at this time. 4A6, approval of employment of staff. Megan Gritzenbach, a special ed TIP teacher at Dr. Julian Rogas School. Stephanie Gary, coordinator of instructional support district-wide. Stephen Lewis, music teacher at Indian Trail School. Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, do we have any questions or comments? All right, can I have a roll call, please, Mrs. Sure. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish? Aye. And Stacey Borgens?
Aye. Thank you very much.
Motion carries.
I apologize for that. Old business, the approval of the parking lot's asphalt replacement bid. I will turn this over to Dr. McDermott.
Sure. I get all of my great information from our facilities department. And so the public bidding process for asphalt and seal coating began May 27th, 2022. The bid spec stated that the agreement for asphalt and seal coating project should start on July 7th, 2022, and a preferred completion date by August 15th, which is our first day of school. Two contractors submitted bids at the June 15th, 2022 public bid opening. The lowest, most responsible bidder was Pavement Systems. So we had six companies that reached out for the information. Only two submitted a bid. So the recommendation would be that we move forward with Pavement Systems.
Okay. Based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the asphalt and seal coating project with Pavement Systems for $162,000?
Second.
Can I have a roll call vote, please, Mrs. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish, aye, and Stacey Borgens.
Aye, and the motion carries. New business, the first reading of board policies. Can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the first reading of board policy 2:230, 3:70, 4:10, 4:70, 4:180, 5:40, 5:70, 5:80, 5:110, 5:140, 5:240, 6:70, 6:80, 6:140, 6:290, 6:330, 7:15, 7:270, and 7:285 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Are there any questions or comments? Can I have a roll call, please, Ms. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish? Aye. Stacey Borgens?
Aye.
And just a reminder, these are on the board. These are available, so
yes,
for the public to look at and see.
Awesome. All right, the next item is the approval of the Indian Trail and Dr. Julian Rogas School sewer repairs. Also, I will turn this over to Dr. McDermott.
Thank you. So there are two sewers at Dr. Julian Rogas School and one sewer at Indian Trail School that require repairs due to the leaking around piping and the structure. We're asking for the approval to repair all three parking lot sewers at the two different locations. We have solicited three quotes from sewer repair contractors. The following is a cost breakdown from each contractor. Sunset Sewer and Water came in at $14,310. Pavement Systems came in at $17,217. And RB Crowther Roofing came in at $17,350. And so we would make the recommendation that Sunset Sewer and Water receive this bid.
Sounds like dirty work. All right, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the sewer repairs project at Indian Trail and Dr. Julian Rogas Schools with Sunset Sewer and Water in the amount of $14,310?
So moved.
Second.
And are there any comments or questions? Okay. Can I have a roll call, please, Mrs. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish, aye, and Stacey Borgans.
Aye. The motion carries. The approval of the Indian Trail School roof drain repairs.
So obviously this has been a busy time for this department. So there are five roof drains that require replacement due to age and continued leaking into the school. So we're asking for approval to replace the existing roof drains. We have solicited three quotes for roofing contractors. The following is cost breakdown from each contractor for the work at Indian Trail School. So Ellens and Macon Roofing, the recommendation is $19,450. That's what they quoted. A1 Roofing was $21,113. And RB Crowther was $24,965. So the low bid was Ellens and Macon at $19,450.
Based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the roof drain replacement project at Indian Trail School with Ellens and Macon Roofing and Sheet Metal in the amount of $19,450?
So moved.
Second.
Can I have a roll call, please, Mrs. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish? Aye. Stacey Borgans?
Aye. And the motion carries. The approval of the pest management control contract.
So we've been busy, like I said. So the district's pest management control company currently is Anderson. The monthly rates have reached the $10,000 threshold for board approval. So we solicited two more companies for quotes for the pest management control program. And we are seeking approval for Smithereen, which will be a change in service. To become our new company. The following is a breakdown of the costs. Smithereen for our schools, $12,800 is the amount with equipment startup, placing traps and things of their own. After equipment startup, the annual cost would be $10,935. Anderson came in at $13,417, and Orkin was $29,309. So our recommendation is to go with Smithereen.
Okay. Based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the pest management program that is required district-wide with Smithereen Pest Control for the total amount of $12,800?
Can I just ask a quick question?
Oh, yes, please.
So with Smithereen, there's a startup cost, $12,800. And then $10,000 after. Anderson's been our person. So their annual cost with us already having all the equipment that they supplied was $13,000, correct? Am I correct on that?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Can I have a roll call, please, Mrs. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish? Aye. And Stacey Borgans?
Aye. And the motion carries. The authorization to bid garbage and recycling services? Boy, they have been busy.
Very important that the garbage goes away. So the districts with their waste removal and recycling services, has exceeded the $25,000 bid threshold, so the district should seek bids going forward. The contract would be for 1 year with two optional one-year extensions, and so we're asking the board today to approve the administration to go out for bid for garbage and recycling services.
Okay. Based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education authorize the administration to seek bids for the Summit Hill School District garbage and recycling services?
So moved.
Are there any questions or comments? Okay, based on that, can I have a roll call, please? Mrs. McClish.
Amy Burke.
Aye.
Katie Campbell.
Aye.
George Leonard.
Aye.
Jim Martin.
Aye.
Stephanie McClish. Aye. And Stacey Borgans.
Aye. Motion carries. New business, the approval of the Summit Hill School District 161 non-certified fiscal year 22 compensation. And I will again turn that over to you.
Oh, so this is all about timing and one that we've really labored over. And so we put some information in the board packet. It's a revisiting of the information we talked about as far as classes of employee in closed session last month. What we're looking at now is our non-certified staffing needs. We have 11 paraprofessionals, 3 nurses, and 3 custodians to employ for next year. And so the timing is really everything. We need time to be able to go out, find applicants, interview them, make sure that they have the appropriate paperwork and background checks, and try to employ them with a start date of earlier than August 15th. So that early start date in an early board meeting in August is a really tight schedule. So we're looking at doing this now. So the draft documents were reviewed based on this dire need for non-certified employees, coupled with the understanding that wages for many of our employees are beneath the comparative average. We're asking that the Board of Education approve recommendations for pay increases for paraprofessionals, nurses, custodians, building secretaries, clerks, technicians, lunch supervisors, the district office staff, and then the administration would wait until the conclusion of teacher contract negotiations before we entered into a discussion about that.
Okay. Thank you. Based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the non-certified pay increases as presented?
Do you want me to read through those?
I can do that. If you'd like to, that would be helpful.
So for paraprofessional, starting pay with a market adjustment to $16 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward by the same increment of $275 per hour. Starting pay with a market adjustment to $27.50 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward for nurses by the same increment of $7.75 per hour. Additionally, we ask that a coordinator stipend be added to the nurse coordinator position, equivalent to the stipend for other coordinators at $5,000. Starting pay with a market adjustment to $16.50 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward by the same increment of $125 per hour for custodians. For building secretaries, a starting pay with market adjustment to $16 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward by the same increment of $275 per hour. Starting pay for clerks with market adjustment to $14 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward by the same increment of $2 per hour. For our technicians, starting pay with a market adjustment to $16.25 per hour to begin, and then when they finish their Microsoft credentialing, moving to $18.25 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward by the same increment of $1 per hour. Lunch supervisors, starting pay with a market adjustment to $14 per hour and adjusting all current employees upward accordingly by the same increment of 75 cents per hour. And then district office staff, starting with our bookkeeper, her pay increase, all of these are $1.40 per hour with the exception of the receptionist. So the bookkeeper would move to $27.69 per hour. Curriculum, SIS, Board of Ed Secretary, $23.04 per hour. Payroll, $21.39 per hour. The Special Education Secretary, $21.63 per hour. Superintendent Secretary, $20.26 per hour. And then transportation and subs would be $17.40 per hour. All of those are $1.40 per hour increase, with the exception of the receptionist, who we would move to $15 per hour. So it's a, I think it's a $1.75 increase for that particular position. And again, the admin would wait until the conclusion of teacher negotiations before computing raises.
Thank you. Okay. Based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the non-certified pay increases as presented by Dr. McDermott?
So moved.
Second.
Can I have a roll call, please, Mrs. McClish?
Amy Burke?
Aye.
Katie Campbell?
Aye.
George Leonard?
Aye.
Jim Martin?
Aye.
Stephanie McClish? Aye. And Stacey Borgens?
Aye. Motion carries. The approval to add a grade 3-4 STEM position. Over.
So first and foremost, for the public record, I would like to thank the board for those increases to our non-certified employees. Even in my superintendent survey, the feedback that I've received was really look at addressing the pay for these important employees of the district. I want all of the people who are listening to know that the board was in complete support of that, and that is really encouraging for those people. And something that's been long overdue. So thank you for doing that. For new business, an approval to add a grade 3-4 STEM position. As we look ahead to next year, so the 22-23 school year, this one coming up, we'd like to recommend hiring a grade 3-4 STEM teacher. We have talked of bolstering the elementary offerings, and this would be an ideal way of building interest in our Action Lab classes at Walker and Summit Hill Junior High, the newly formed Robotics Club, in offering additional hands-on opportunities to our elementary students. We have a board-approved Action Lab STEM teacher job description in place already, so the motion that we're asking for tonight is to add this position to our 3-4 offerings for our students.
Okay. So based on that information, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the addition of a grades 3 and 4 STEM position for the 2022-23 school year?
Second.
Can I have a roll call, please, Mrs.
Can we? I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any questions?
So, how does this fit into the kids' day? What does this look like? Like, what does this position look like?
So, we'll need to sit down. If it is approved tonight, we'll need to sit down with the elementary principals and ensure that they schedule this time in. We do have other teachers who are traveling between the buildings, so we want to make sure that it's equitable, that our students are seeing this opportunity in each of the schools, and that it's going to change the amount of release time or plan time that we have for our teachers because we're adding in this additional time for them. And so some of that will come up in negotiations as we're looking for additional time. But the rest of that scheduling specifically will have to be handled by the building principals.
So how many?
I'm sorry, Jim. Speaking?
Could you repeat that, Jim, please?
We just didn't understand what you said.
You're muffled.
Okay.
There you go.
So I have talked to the elementary principals in theory about this position. In the event that it is approved, then we would sit down and work the schedule. So yes, a lot of schedule work has already been done. But at the elementary buildings, it's far less significant of work because we are designating students to particular classrooms versus them moving through a schedule where you have to alter additional teacher schedules. So it's about finding a time and a schedule to do that. So that would be something that we would have to broach. As we look at our staffing overall, as we lose students in particular grade levels, we're trying to make our moves as cost neutral as possible. So this was not brought up in January because we were unaware that we would potentially be able to save a position. It looks like we might be able to do that now, and so we put this on the docket as we try to bolster those elementary sections and offerings for our students. I think we would start internally to see what kind of interest there is. If we're unsuccessful in filling that internally, then we would look externally.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, so how many three, four sections do you have across the district? And would this person be in a different building every day? How does that look?
So I would work with our curriculum director and the building principals in order to determine what that schedule would look like for this person.
I mean, would they be a district? They wouldn't be tied to one or two buildings. They'd be...
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking in my head, like, we're already spread thin with art and other, like, just factoring all that in. I just said I always have concern, like, we're spread thin with art and other offering, you know, having one person do the building, just taking that into consideration as we're adding on things or looking into, you know, steps to take.
I personally think that Action Lab, which is what this mostly is, has been one of the best things that we've ever brought to this district.
Right.
And one of the biggest problems with it is that we don't start it early enough. And one of the biggest problems with science in America is there's not enough hands-on science done in the classroom, and it's too much reading about rocks and not enough, you know, like experimenting and learning scientific method and things like that. And the earlier we can get that started, I know the timing might seem weird. I don't care. The earlier we can get it started, the better off our kids are. And
I'm not for the exposure.
No, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that maybe we need to look past a couple of little things to get this going. Because, I mean, personally, I would like it to go K through 8 eventually and be an even bigger part of our science curriculum. And I think that's important to look at it, too. While Action Lab is considered kind of an add-on, I think it's really an essential part of a science curriculum overall. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky enough to have stumbled upon, or somebody, maybe John, I don't know who it was, found it a number of years ago and brought it to our district, and it's just been wonderful. So I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in there. So
anything further?
Well, I just want to agree with George and say also there's a lot of opportunity for cross-curricular collaboration here, I think, as well. We see with our technology classes and how they're already doing coding at the younger levels, so I think it could just very seamlessly work in nicely. Like an Action Lab teacher, maybe they're only seeing that teacher infrequently, but the teachers in the other courses can kind of reinforce what they're doing, I think.
Also, to help with some of the scheduling concerns, this wouldn't be first, second, third, fourth. This would be focusing on third and fourth, so you're not seeing quite as many students, so you could maybe stretch the person a little thinner.
Okay. So, did I get a...
We already...
Okay, thank you. So, can I have a roll call vote, please, Mrs.?
Sure.
Thank you.
Amy Burke.
Aye.
Katie Campbell.
Aye.
George Leonard.
Aye.
Jim Martin.
No.
Stephanie McClish, aye, and Stacey Borgens.
Aye, the motion carries. The discussion on the approval of board policy 890 regarding the parent organizations and booster clubs is going to be tabled at this time to a later meeting. We need to discuss a few things back in committee and then bring it forth one more time. So we are now on to... the superintendent and staff report.
So I'll start with the enrollment report. We're at 185 kindergarten students, so we are watching that number very carefully. Last year we had 211 students, and so that's kind of our target number. So I anticipate we will be enrolling additional students as we get closer to the beginning of the school. That happens every year. And then secondly, we have a presentation. So Julie is on today. So she's got the preliminary 22-23 District 161 budget presentation for you.
Good evening. A summary of the preliminary 2022-2023 budget is included in the board packet. At this point, there are no actual fiscal year-end numbers for this June 30th, 2022, based upon the timing, it being so early in the month. And we have to get our year-end accruals, and we need to receive more invoices in the mail. So basically, this is step one of a three-step process to be inclusive and transparent with the board and the community. Our next review will occur again in August, and basically just want to touch on a few points. The property tax revenue for fiscal year 2023 is projected to increase approximately $800,000 to approximately $33.34 million, excluding approximately $6.7 million projected for debt service. The approximate levy for 2023 is projected in total to be $40.07 million, including the debt service revenue. The community might be quite interested in being aware that the final bond payment at this time, plus interest and the corresponding levy, is projected to be made in 2027. So that kind of shows that there is an end in sight as far as some bond payments at this point. During fiscal year 2022, $2,982,000 was received in evidence-based funding. That is a 2% increase from the prior year. And during this budget, the revenues for evidence-based funding is trending at the same rate. The categorical funding is more steady and reliable than it has seen previously. So during 2022, we saw $1.3 million was received for both regular and special ed transportation. This represents a 3% increase from the $1.2 million in the fiscal year ended 2021. Conservatively, with gas prices increasing, the expense reimbursement for the transportation claim should correspondingly be impacted in that fashion. I also wanted to take note when we're looking at revenues that the preliminary federal grant allocations have been released in the IDEA Part B flow-through. Grant is preliminarily allocated at $610,000 for fiscal year 2023. It was $529,000 in fiscal year 2022 until an additional $102,000 was allocated by amendment for the district, has successfully completed, and is now in line to receive. Out-of-district special ed tuition costs are planned to be mitigated by this revenue source, and we want to thank Leslie for all of her work on special ed and these specific grants. ESSER 1 carryover grant and ESSER 2 grant and the ESSER 3 grant has been applied for and approved in the fiscal year 2022. So we've been pretty busy this year, and we'd like to thank the superintendent for helping us move this along so gracefully and getting us to get the money that this district hereby deserves. These are funds for various economic relief packages, and the Congress has passed in response to COVID-19 pandemic. They have provided financial benefits to the districts, and following shows a total allocation of ESSERs from 1, 2, and 3. ESSER 1 funds were spent during fiscal year 2021, and the remainder of the ESSER 1 funds were applied and received in fiscal year 2022. And I want to thank John Snipes for helping us to go ahead and get the remaining of these funds so diligently. ESSER 2 also received in fiscal year 2022, and ESSER 3 grant was submitted and approved in this year. But $355,000 of the ESSER 3 funds is looking to be allocated towards that new cooling tower. It is a very important purchase, and it's beneficial for the students and the faculty and those that are within the Summit Hill Junior High building on a daily basis. So plan for fiscal year on 2023 as it relates to the ESSER funds. We have already, we had $1,450,754 available in these ESSER funds. During 2022, we have dispersed and secured $851,813. And in fiscal year 2023, We are planning to secure $598,941. In other words, we are seeking the funds so duly owed to this district, and we are receiving them to pay for things that will help run the district smoothly and benefit in, from the impacts that we were affected by from COVID-19. Education fund expenditures. On the opposite side from revenue, we often look at expenditures. The education fund always continues to grow. In years previously, we have seen an increase in the range of 4%. At this time, negotiations are underway with the teachers union, and we are working diligently to close that out. We will look into August for some meetings, and at this time, I was left to work with the superintendent, and we came up with a plan because we wanted to increase more than the regular 4% range, and we increased it by 4.5% because we have to be conservative and resourceful and also aware of the inflationary rates and the CPI. So we have tried to balance it with as close as we can with the information that is now at our fingertips. So we are looking to solidify that number as the time goes on, and that's why at this time it is so very tentative, this budget. The health insurance premiums have increased in fiscal year 2023 by 8.7% for HMO, 7.5% for PPO, and 6.2% for dental. Obviously, that's a larger impact that has hit the budget than previous costs and that we need to take into consideration when also during our negotiation process. Contractual services and supplies are anticipated to be increased based on current inflationary markers. We have to be aware that even when we go to the store today and shop around, everything costs more than it did a year ago. So those are costs that are imputed into this budget, but it is tentative because we would like to get tighter and tighter and more solid numbers within the next 2 months. The HVAC maintenance needs and other general expenditures to keep the major systems in good condition continue to be a large expenditure, but implementing the cooling tower and having that in place will help maintain these costs, and as long as we keep everything up to par and keep proper maintenance, which is definitely something that is happening and planned for going forward. As a reminder, the target fund balance for the board, we have to look at keeping a certain amount of, not to exceed a certain amount of expenditures as well. And basically, sometimes if you have too much revenue in an account, you have to look at that too. So you have, there's a lot of balancing that goes on. You get a certain amount of money from the government, you got a certain amount of money from grants, you can only keep a certain amount of money in each fund, and working all together, you wanna make sure you have enough money for the teachers that we so are so important to our students' growth and development, and we have all that taken into consideration in this budget. As our working cash fund continues to grow, or consideration of these funds for transfers for operations and earmarking some for capital projects that are planned for a detailed assessment. During the remainder of July and the tentative budget is presented in August, these budgets will continue to be adjusted and become more and more solidified as more information becomes available. So basically, we have been anticipating a good year for fiscal year 2022. We're still in the process of closing that out. But with that in mind, we are looking at the expenses and definitely taking into consideration that we do are completely aware of the inflation that we're facing. And that is attributed to some of the expenses that are recorded in this tentative budget. Are there any questions?
Just as one point of clarification, any percentages that we utilized were really just placeholders to help develop a tentative budget. So a lot of those numbers are still in flux, and as Julie had stated, over the next several months, our goal will be to fine-tune and solidify those numbers so when we bring back a budget, it's in better shape for you.
Thank you. I haven't heard of it yet, but I will look out for that and I'll check into it.
I haven't heard that either. However, I have heard from Lincoln Way 210 that they will be increasing our costs. So I'm hoping that the state comes through for us, Jim.
And just to clarify, the 4.5, as you said, was not agreed on for the teacher contract. It was just a number that was thrown out there to help start the budgeting process. So just to clarify to any teachers, we're not saying that that's the number. And I'm looking in the ceiling because I know you're watching. We did not say that, but it was just a placeholder, yes. So thank you. We do not have any closed session this evening. Do we have any public comment? We do not have any further public comments. So our future meeting date, August 10th, 2022, here at the Mary Drew Administrative Center at 7 p.m. So based on that information, can I have a motion that we adjourn this meeting?
Move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Well, you all have a good evening, and we'll see you soon.